We're looking at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. Again, it says, God had spake these words and said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And we are continuing the message about, concluding, hopefully, this message about American Idol. And as we look at that, we must understand that God here is talking to his people, and he tells them that I'm the one that brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I am the one who delivered you. I am the one who brought you out of the house of bondage. And I am the one who turned the Nile River into blood. I'm the one who made the frogs come up from the sea and cover the land of Egypt. I am the one who sent the nets. I am the one who sent the flies. I am the one who caused the cattle to be diseased. I am the one who caused boils to break out on all the Egyptians. I am the one who sent hail and fire, hail mingled with fire along the grounds of Egypt. I am the one who made it so dark that you could feel it. I am the one who sent the death angel through the city and during the first Passover and took every male of every family, the firstborn male and of every family, the first male of every animal. I'm that guy. I am Jehovah. I am Elohim. I am the God of might. I am the God of strength. I am the God of power. And you need to know that I not only am I able to deliver you, but I'm also able, I'm a God that you can depend on. I'm a God that you can know and that you can trust. I'm a God that wants you to know that when I say I'm going to do something, that I have the power to get it done. Amen. I'm not like everyone else. I'm not limited to time and space. I am God, he says, and amen. I am the God who is able to deliver you, and also one that is able to keep you, one that you can depend on. And so God wanted them to know that he was that kind of a God. God had descended on Mount Sinai, and they had seen the fire and the smoke. They had seen the thundering and the lightning. They had experienced the ground shaking, and they had experienced the trumpet sounding. Chapter 19, the trumpet sounded, and they went louder, and they waxed louder and louder and louder. God is making himself known to his people, and as they are experiencing that, even as we look in chapter 20, verse 18 of this book of Exodus, we see that after they had experienced that, after God had given them the Ten Commandments, and after he had finished, we see that they said that the experience was so amazing that they said that they thought they were going to die. God was letting them know how powerful he was. God was letting them know how strong he was. God was letting them know that he was majestic, that he was supreme, that he was superior than any other God, and that he had that type of a power. Amen. And just his presence alone, amen, made them think that they were going to die. God had displayed his power. God had revealed to them who he was, and who he was, and he's letting them know that I am a God of strength. This is the God that you're serving. You're serving an almighty, an all-powerful God. Well, the truth is that they were so afraid until Moses had to tell them in verse 20, in chapter 20:20, he tells them that don't fear, that God is just wanting to prove you. God is wanting to test you. God, that the fear of him may be before your faces. God wants them to have fear for him. Amen. Because we must fear God. And after seeing what they saw, they needed to know that God was most powerful, and that their very life, their very breath were in God's hand. We need to be aware of the mightiness of God. God, amen, wants us to know that. And I don't want to hold that too long, but I keep feeling it. We need to understand that who we're dealing with here. This is the Almighty God. And what is all of this commotion about? What is all of this smoke about? Why did God have to come down? What was the reason for God showing up with his people? What was the purpose of the meeting? What was number one on the agenda? Well, we look and we find that it's a word that not many people like to talk about. It is, you don't hear much about it. You won't hear it on the news. You won't hear it on the phone. You won't hear it at the mailbox. Amen. You won't hear it at work, no doubt, for the most part. It is the word sin. In verse 20, it's that little word, S-I-N. Why all of the powerful display? God wanted to put fear in their heart so that they would not be a disobedient people, and he needed to let them know how powerful he was, and that their very life and breath in their nose was in his hand, were in his hands. They needed to know that he did not want them to sin. So these to walk in sin. And so these commandments are standards for them to live by as his people. Amen. These are to govern our conduct, our society. Later on, we get social laws and civil laws specifically. But the truth, what he's saying, these basic Ten Commandments, God is letting us know how important sin is. Sin is a big deal. Amen. Amen. Matthew Henry tells us that prior to God giving the Ten Commandments, these commandments were in our hearts. But then that was during a dispensation of innocence, a period when man was tested as it related to some revealed will of God. That was a different dispensation. But now that we are no longer innocent, now that we have disobeyed God and that we are sinners, God said, now I must give you, I must teach you, I must train you and show you how I want you to live. How I want these to govern your life. This is your standard that I want you to strive to observe and to know that these are holy laws, the Ten Commandments. Amen. And all of this is just simply about the fact that I am God, and you are my people, and I've given you these commandments, and I'm making it clear to you how it is, so that you can avoid living a life in sin. Amen. So God here shows to them, we see as he displays his divine power, but there's another power, that is demonic powers. Demonic powers. He says, thou shalt have no other gods. And when he says other gods, we must understand that other gods come under the context of false gods. Amen. There are false gods. There are those who are not powerful like me, and those who don't have all powerful power, but there are those who are trying to make it look like they too are worthy of worship. You see, only God is worthy of worship, and no other god is supposed to steal that worship. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, Jesus says, and him only shall thou serve. Matthew 4 and verse 9. And no one else is worthy of our worship. God is saying, I am the only God, and I don't want you to worship any other gods before me. You shall not have any other gods. And because we know that there were other gods in the land, lest I hold you too long, he says that there are other gods all around in that land at that particular time, but you are to worship me, God says. There are other gods. He says that to worship idols is to really worship Satan. Amen. To worship idols is to worship Satan. He makes it plain to them in Deuteronomy 32:17. He says that you're in a land where they sacrifice unto devils. Amen. Amen. They sacrifice unto, really the translation is demons. They sacrifice unto demons. These are the ones doing Satan's bidding, doing Satan's work. He said they sacrifice. When you sacrifice unto idols, you're sacrificing unto demons. And he did not want them to sacrifice. And he says, demons that you know nothing about. And he says that these are new gods. Amen. These are new gods. Amen. Amen. Do you have a new god? Is there another god that you serve besides Jehovah? Amen. Besides Yahweh, is there another god that you serve beside the one true God? And he says that those who sacrifice are sacrificing unto demons, and they are false gods. And the Bible tells us that we are not to worship any other god besides Jehovah. Amen. And the Bible makes it plain that God is the one that is to be worshipped. But yet they sacrifice unto demons. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 106:37 that this is a God that really is a God of death. He takes your life away. And they were sacrificing their sons and their daughters unto gods. Amen. They would cut the throats of their little babies and throw them on gods like Moloch. And while the baby screamed, they would beat the drums, and this hallowed stature would be there. And they would sacrifice. That was the practice, the heathen practices of the land. And God said, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. They were sacrificing unto other gods. Amen. God wants us to be aware that he is the one true God, and he did not want these other gods, these gods of death, to be one that they be the God that they would be serving. Amen. Amen. But these idols, and the truth is that behind these idols, there are demon mystical attractions that draw someone to them. Amen. And we get lost in an idol. Just think about it. Who in their right mind would worship an idol? Wood or stone or some image? Who in their right mind would do that? Amen. What would pull them to that? Well, the fact of the matter is that we have a sin nature. And these idols are like magnets to our old nature. They draw us in. They pull us in. It's like having a magnet. Amen. You know, a magnet, if you put it down, it'll draw a paperclip. It'll draw a tack. It'll draw a razor blade. Amen. Because that element is there, and there's something in our nature that makes us want to, that we're drawn toward evil. We're drawn toward evil things. And so we have to be careful because we have a sinful nature. Amen. And we have to stay prayed up so that we won't give in to that old nature that want to worship idol gods. And as we think about that, God must realize that there are false gods, but then there's the only one true God. There's the only one true God. Jeremiah 10:10 tells us that, but the Lord is the true God. Amen. He is the true God. The Lord is the true God. He is the God who not wants to bring death, but brings life. He is the true God. He said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Amen. God wants to give us life. Well, as we think about that, we must understand that this is the kind of a God that we serve. He's a God that satisfies. Amen. You see, these false gods don't really bring any fulfillment. They don't bring any long-lasting joy. Do you have joy? Amen. When you're born again and when Christ comes into your heart, amen, there's a joy that you get. And for the first time in your life, you begin to find fulfillment. For the first time in your life, you begin to become satisfied. For the first time in your life. Amen. God quenches our thirst. God satisfies our soul. The psalmist writes, and he says in Psalms 42 and verse 2, the psalmist tells us that my soul thirsts after God, after the living God. My soul is thirsty, and nothing else, no crack pipe, amen, no thrill, no liquor, no pleasure can replace. Because when you start dealing with it, amen, you find out that it comes and goes, but it doesn't stay. But the psalmist says, My soul thirsts for God because he's the only thirst quencher. God is the only one who satisfies, bring real satisfaction. There are no substitutes. There are no other gods. And when he comes into your life, he brings fulfillment. There's joy. There's peace that flow like a river. Do you want that peace? It only comes from the one true God. That is the living God, our God. Amen. There are demonic powers that suck us in, that draw us in. But we have to be careful about worshiping. We have to be careful. If we're not careful, we'll find ourselves worshiping these gods, not even knowing it, unconsciously, because we begin to put them before God, and it becomes a substitute for something that really there is no substitute for. When we think about God, we must understand that in America, if we want to be one nation under God, God causes us to be a nation. We said we want to be under God. And is something wrong if our nation thinks that if we become so powerful that no longer are we accountable to anybody? We are the most powerful nation on earth. And I don't answer to nobody. I do what I want to do. I'm free to do as I please. I'm not accountable anymore to God. I'm not accountable. I'm the most powerful. Is it possible that we made an America have become a God? That's why we have to be careful. Is God God? Amen. No one is unaccountable. Not even a nation. The truth is that we have to be very careful. Amen. Because although we're the most powerful nation, God wanted Israel to know and see. You have experienced, you've had an encounter with me, and you know firsthand I am powerful. I am majestic. I am the most, I am the almighty. But it's possible that you can get so blessed and you can get so many things that you think that I'm not accountable to God. God doesn't apply to me. And that's where our nation can get in danger. Because even we think freedom means we have the right to do wrong. But freedom doesn't mean you have the right to do wrong. Amen. So that's why we come up with all these rights. We got this right, that right. I want this right. I want that right. And all these rights. Amen. But you don't have the freedom. Freedom does not give you anyone the right to do wrong. We are accountable to God. Amen. Yes, we may sin and we will sin, but we are accountable. We go to Him and confess and we turn around because we are in love now with this God. He is first. He's number one on the list. He's changed me. He's turned me around. And He did what no one else could do. He is the one that turned my life around. And He gives me peace that no one else can. Well, man, lest I get too stirred up here. The truth is, God is a God who is able to keep us. But we can't feel that we're free. Amen. And we have a right to do wrong. And we come up with rights. But the truth of the matter is, God is not going to give you some of the things you want. Not if you're going to be a nation under God. You won't get it. I hate to give you the, bring the bad, be the bearer of bad news, but you won't get it. You can pray. You can pout. Amen. You can even use profanity if you want to. You can do whatever you want to. You can plead and you can do all these things, but if it hurts you, God is not going to let you have it. God has written these standards for us to live by, and there are standards that He wants to bless us with. If we're going to be a blessed nation, we can't get out from under His will. We got to be a people, and it didn't matter. And then we not only do we want the right to do wrong, but then we want to make wrong right. That's the next step. We make wrong right. We don't have the right to make wrong right. How do you make wrong right? Well, you legislate it. Legislation. Through legislation, I legalize things that are not in God's will. Things that God know will hurt me and God doesn't want me to have, especially if it's going to take my life. It's not even under His permissive will. Anything that you do, and I do, if it hurts us, being His people, He won't let us have it. Amen. But we try to force it out of His hands by legalizing. So we legalize marijuana. We legalize, and although it serves a purpose medicinally, but we just go on a legalizing spree. Legalized. Amen. Amen. And man, I guess at that point, saying, I've got more power than God. God in the book said I can't do it, but I don't legalize it. Well, not only that, but then we began to put it into practice. Amen. We don't have the freedom to make right wrong, and then we take wrong and make it right, and then we start put it into practice as if it's the norm. And then when we do that, when we put it into practice, when we put our legalized sin into practice as being one nation under God, what ends up happening after that is we find ourselves being under curse because you put us under curse. Amen. And if we're put under curse, now no longer can God bless America. No longer is he obligated to bless America. You have legalized your way out of his life. You have legalized, you've shaken your fist in the face of God and said, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm most powerful. We are blessed and we don't answer to nobody, not even God. Or is he just God in name only, just nominally? God, we have put it, and that's what happened when he says they call evil good and good evil and dark light and light darkness. He says they called evil good. They start talking about it, Isaiah 5:20. And then next thing you know, what did it say in Isaiah 5:20? After they start calling evil good, then they start putting darkness for light. Then they start putting, amen, bitter for sweet. And they became wise in their own eyes. Amen. But if we want God's blessings, if we want to continue to get God's protection, we've got to be careful what we put into practice and think God is just going to overlook what we're doing. No, we are accountable to God. We cannot afford not to be accountable to God no more than a child can afford to not be accountable to their parents. God is our Father. He's our Heavenly Father. Well, the truth of the matter is that God is a good God. And he wants the best for us. But we must realize that God is calling us to do his will. And we cannot legalize sin. And if we sin, just confess the sin and repent. Because we have a sinful nature. But don't make it legal. Amen. We have legalized our way into a lifestyle of materialism. To possessions. To pleasure. And we idolize people. And these types of things, and we say we don't, but we do. Anything that comes before God, and amen, we legalize freedom. Amen. We idolize freedom. We worship freedom. Amen. Oh, amen. We call it freedom, but it's really an idol. Amen. We worship money. The Bible says in Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve God in mammon. Amen. We call it making a living, but it's really an idol. We worship our rights and we call it freedom, but in actuality is idolatry. Because if you put it in first place, if you made it number one, no matter what you call it, it's an idol. You may call it making a living. You may call it being successful. You may even call it love. I love somebody. But you can't love anybody more than God. God is always number one. And when I can never love you as much as I can love you until I love God first. It doesn't mean I love you less. It means you get the best of my love. When I love God, then I know that someone is holding me accountable. And although he know I'm frail and I sin, he still does not walk out on me. He still does not throw in the towel. He still leaves the light on for every sinner, no matter what you've done, no matter what mistake that you made, no matter what rights you have executed that have been detrimental and hurt and brought death. It does not matter. God is a God who is a forgiving, loving God, and God is always waiting. He's always willing to take his people back. Oh, this is the kind of God we serve. God is a God who is merciful. Sometimes people aren't merciful, but God is always merciful. Well, yes, God displayed his divine power. And we see that there are demonic powers. But what we need to recognize is that we need to be a devoted people. A devoted people. We need to be devoted to God. And you see, if we take ourselves out from under God, we put we put the country under a curse. And we don't want to do that. But the Bible tells us in Psalms 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Blessed. 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 Do you want to be blessed? Blessed is the nation. Psalms 33:12. Whose God is the Lord. Do you want a blessed nation? Then we must not put ourselves under a curse. I want a blessed nation. The Bible says that when the righteous are in authority, Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Oh yes. When right is on the throne, when righteousness prevails, as we obey God, as we live by God's rules, and as we fall and get up even, but we never try to change the rules. Amen. When the righteous are in authority, amen, whenever that takes place, the people rejoice. But he says, when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. One version says the people moan. There's a lot of moaning in the land. And it'll always be that way when we're not doing right, when we're not honoring God, there'll be a lot of moaning going on, a lot of groaning. But when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Amen. They rejoice. There's joy and there's happiness and there are blessings and there's happiness, true safety in the hand of God. Well, what must we do? We must get back on track. The Bible says that in 1 Peter 4:17, that judgment must begin at the house of God. Amen. Judgment must begin at the house of God. And it must start with us. It must start with those who name the name of God. If you're talking about a nation, it must start with a nation that says, I'm one nation under God. Judgment starts with the ones who are claiming to be his people. We're the ones who should judge our situation and say, this is wrong and I'm going to not try to make it right. God said it is his world. We are his sheep and the people of his, we are his people and the sheep of his pastor. Amen. And we are to worship God on Sunday. Amen. We are to go to church and we are to lift our hands and praise him and thank him for our breakfast. Thank him for his blessings. We are to thank him for the clothes that we have, the food, the shelter, the transportation for our loved ones, for our friends. We should thank God. God is to be praised because he's worthy. He is to be worshiped. Amen. Because of his power, because of his strength, because of who he is, he must be worshiped. If we don't worship him, the rocks will cry out. Well, lest I hold you too long, the truth is that God wants us to worship him, to praise him. But judgment must begin with us. It must begin with the house of God. It must begin with the people of God. It must begin with a nation calling themselves one nation under God. That's where it begins. 1 Peter 4:17. And if it first begins with those who are of the house of God, what shall the end be for those who don't know the gospel of God? Amen. Amen. So that lets us know that yes, God is going to be hard on his people, but if you're not his people, judgment is even worse. So I want to allow you to respond. If God has spoken to your heart, if he said anything to you, the Bible is interesting book. It says in John chapter 6, verse 44, it says that no man can come to Jesus except the Father draw him. You see, you can't trick the Father. A lot of folks have gone to church and they've had crocodile tears, and God is loves us all, but sometimes we don't really want God. We just want an answer to our problem. No. What you don't understand is when you get God, you get the answer to your problem. It's not money that you need or more that you need or this or that that you need. It's God that you need. And when I get God, he breaks everything else. I mean, free from everything else. And he is the one who gives me joy, and he's the one that brings deliverance. The problem is salvation. The problem is that God, it's a God problem. It's not a gold problem. He's God all by himself, by the way. The Bible tells us in John, the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 20, verse 23, God says, I don't need nobody's help. I'm God all by myself. I'm just that bad. I'm just that powerful. Amen. Amen. Nobody made me. I don't need nobody's help. Amen. I am the I am. I am the self-existent one. Nobody made me. Amen. I made everything else. There never was a time. I'm the one who always was, who always is, and who always shall be. And I don't need nobody's help. And he says, I don't want you to make any gods of silver with me. Don't put any gods with me. I don't need no help. God says, I am the almighty, omnipotent, sovereign, majestic creator. And all you need is me. And if the Father is calling you, and he's the one who can get you saved, he got me saved. What happens is if you hear God talking to you, Jesus says, John says in John 6:44 that, and John also says in Revelation 3:20, if you hear the knock, then open the door, amen, and let Jesus in. But you must be willing. We must be willing, our children. We must be willing, amen, to respond if God is calling you. If the Father is calling you, you can't accept Jesus unless the Father is calling. And if God is calling you, if you sense his presence, then you need to say yes to him. You need to say, yes, he is calling me, and I'm ready to respond. And I'm going to respond, and I'm going to give my life to the one who really brings fulfillment. I'm going to give my life to the living God. Amen. He's not a false God. He's the true God. He's not a dead God, lifeless, unreal God. He is the living God. He's alive. And he wants, if he's knocking on your heart's door, you need to say, yes, I believe in that God. Yes, I believe in his provision for salvation. I might not be able to take communion today, but I'm going to go and make it public. I'm going to call somebody. You can call the church and let us know. I accepted God as I was listening to this message, as he was trying to conclude this message. And you probably said, I hope he threw with the message. But you need to call him and say, look, I accepted Christ while I was on that sermon. And now I want to get baptized. Now, your church can direct me, or your church can baptize me, but I feel the chains being broken over my life. I hear him calling me. Yes, if the Father is calling you, then you can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you were put in a grave. I believe that you rose. I believe. And my eyes today are open. And my heart is too. And this is the first day of the rest of my life. Today I will be a Christian. If you are saved, you need to rededicate your life. If you haven't been living the way God wants you to live, you haven't been living under God. This is one nation under God. This is why we have to be careful when we say America first. I understand the idea, but we have to say God first. Amen. That has to be number one. Is he first? God says, thou shalt have no other God. If you want my blessings, you can't have no other gods. And Father, we thank you now for this day. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for your presence. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Help us to hear it. Help us to heed it. And help us to live it in a way that honors you. Help us, we pray for our nation, that we will be in your will, because we know that if we live in the will of God, then we don't have to worry about what goes on the outside. As long as I know that I'm a child of God, as long as I know I'm pleasing Almighty God, then he will take care of all the other things in a world that is fallen. I know that I have divine help. Yes, there are demonic powers, but I have divine power. Amen. We pray for our nation. We ask that you would have mercy. For we know that's when we don't get what we deserve. We have not honored you in many ways. So we ask that you would have mercy upon us. And we know that if we walk according to your will and accept you, then we know that yes, God will bless America. And he'll bless you. God is able. Receive him by faith. And let us know. In Jesus' name, amen.